I am René Arnoux, and you must to listen like me, F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 461, September 30th, 2010. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the 2011 Motorsports Memories Calendar Americana. Now available on the F1 Weekly website. Get one you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, is everything okay at Mercedes Grand Prix? Lotus, what's in a name? Kimi and Renault, can Fernando go all the way? And Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid and special interview with Alexander Rossi and Robert Wickens, both of GP3 fame. Of course, these conversations took place between myself and the two drivers at Monza. So exciting. Steve, how are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Not too bad. It's a little warm here in California, having a little heat wave.
Triple digits in San Jose today.
Yeah, triple digits. What's 100 here and 100 there? But should cool down tomorrow. No, everything's great. Interesting stuff in Formula One news, especially with this Lotus thing. You know, Fernandez changed the name to Team Lotus instead of Lotus F1 or Lotus Racing. And then the Lotus group came out and said, not so fast. You didn't buy that legitimately. And Fernandez goes, hey, I bought it. It's done deal. So this is going to be going in the courts, and who knows where it's going to go.
And who owned it? Who did he supposedly buy it from?
He bought it from Mr. Hunt. And it seemed like a legitimate deal, but apparently it's not.
A lot of it depends, you know, it comes down to who owns that particular trademark.
Well, you have
copyright.
The Lotus cars, and they're the ones who are saying you will not be able to use Team Lotus of the old, you know, vintage days.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, you know, the problem is this is going to go into court and waste precious monies
that could be used to develop a car.
Exactly.
Or pay some poor out-of-work driver.
Well, I think some of this will be settled out of court. They'll come up with something. But it certainly made great headlines.
And you know what? I'm not really sure what Lotus's problem is. It's free freaking advertising.
Nothing's free. They just want more money. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why from Lotus Racing to Team Lotus. I know it's such a little change of wording, but still, these things happen, and it's a lot of blah blah. So
yeah, and maybe we're not talking about no stinking car, maybe we're talking about a flower.
Correct. So you know, we'll let that go, and
just change it to Lotus Blossom Racing.
Yes, or you know, I just hope they get it sorted out and don't waste too much money over these silly things.
Yeah, some attorney somewhere looking for some extra cash.
Exactly. So, Singapore is behind us. Four more races to go, Stephen. This is it.
Or three.
I think three is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, when you look at the photographs, everything looks pretty much ready. There'll be a final inspection with Charlie Whiting, which I believe is coming up on October 11th.
Yeah, ultimately the track will be ready. Whether or not the infrastructure to actually house fans is there is a different question.
Well, it's the gold-plated faucets in Bernie's quarters.
Yes, and then the VIP suites being properly vetted.
Yes, little things like that. But I think everything is going to come off. And I have a funny feeling it's going to turn out to be a great, great affair.
Yeah, hopefully Karun Chanduk's previews of the track being a fun and interesting track will prove to be true.
Exactly. So, I expect packed seats, sold-out facility, and I'm sure Korea will go on, like I said, four races to go, Steve, and can't get more exciting than this. Down to the wire, five drivers hoping, and all packed into the DNF chapel.
Yes, exactly. And it brings some friends with them, too, because, their teammates, for those that whose teammates are out of it, are there too, because, they want to win, get points for the team.
Exactly. Felipe Massa coming out saying he is out of it, and of course will help his number one.
So Fernando gets pole, Felipe gets P2, and then just turns the car sideways to the start.
Anything can happen. I don't know, but it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to Suzuka, which is a wonderful track.
Always a fun race at Suzuka.
Absolutely.
Just because the track is it's so interesting. So rich in history, and one of the few tracks with a real good hairpin and then with an under-over.
Absolutely, and a lot of drivers who made a lot of mistakes and got into some trouble in Singapore are going to try to fix that in Japan.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's not Fuji.
It's not Fuji, and I'm glad Fuji is behind us.
Yes.
Even though Fuji, there was some excitement, but it always rained a lot.
Yeah, that was my biggest peeve with Fuji. It's like, is it ever going to stop raining?
Yes, but we could still get some damp weather at Suzuka. But it's going to be pretty exciting, and one of the teams, McLaren, saying they're going to regroup. They knew that Singapore was not going to be their forte, even though they had new front wings for the race. They didn't turn out to be so wingy. And apparently, with Lewis Hamilton's...
It's like their first crack at the diffuser where they went, oops.
Yes.
Let's go back to the shop with those. They don't work very well.
Well, it depends on what they were trying to do. We're not sure. But they'll have a couple more items for Japan. And they're pretty pumped up. Whitmarsh saying there are four races to go and lots of championship points to catch, including... 25 points spreading the first five drivers. They must all fancy their chances. Inevitably, you come away from here disappointed and bruised, but we have got to regroup. And this was always going to be a difficult circuit for us, talking about Singapore. And, of course, not hauling in the amount of points that they really wanted to haul with Lewis Hamilton having another back-to-back DNF. So McLaren's going to regroup. I expect them to perform well in Suzuka, but I suspect that even Red Bull will have to confess that the people and the man they need to focus on and beat is Fernando Alonso. Bravo, bravo.
Right at the moment, Fernando's got the fastest car in the grid, apparently, though practice said otherwise. But, he was able to get the pole and keep it, and that pretty much proves you get the fastest car on the track.
Well, the situation is not just the fastest car. Is your comfort level, comfort zone, focus. It's the package. And apparently, Sebastian Vettel could have had pole in Singapore. But he made that mistake, hitting and brushing the wall, not putting it all together. And that's the big difference.
Well, Fernando is a two-time world champion, so he's kind of been in this seat before. I don't remember. Was he coming? He didn't come from behind in either of his other two championships, though. He was kind of front-running.
Correct. But still, it was tight down to the wire against Michael Schumacher, and it was exciting. But still, we'll see what happens. Like Fernando said, the momentum is... And he's warning the other drivers, I am at my peak right now. He's peaking.
So it's not too soon?
Well, I don't think it's too soon. Because this is when you want to peak. Final four races, it's going to be exciting. Of course, we had Nick Heidfeld in Singapore coming back, which was exciting. But both Saubers were out of the race with bizarre incidents. And a couple of those incidents for both drivers was with Michael Schumacher.
Ooh.
And Michael Schumacher was getting it hard by Eddie Jordan, calling for him to get fired by Mercedes Grand Prix for these kinds of, well, what's
Eddie got against poor Michael?
Well, Eddie discovered Michael, and I guess Eddie wants to end it.
Yeah, exactly. I got him started and I want to finish him.
But Nick Heidfeld had some interesting things to say. Quote, of course, I would have hoped for a better result, and I wanted to finish the race. But in my view, Michael was braking a bit too late and knocked me out of the race. My race was compromised soon after the new start. Anyway, Vintantonio Liuzzi wanted to pass me from a long way off on the outside in turn four. Then I believe he braked early, and unfortunately, I crashed into him. He also says that the car wasn't easy to drive. So,
Nicky, it's a Formula One car. They're not generally easy to drive.
Well, you know, he should be just happy. And to be honest with you, I would just say no comment to some of these questions.
Yeah, most of these questions would be going, hey, I ran the race I wanted to run. Things didn't turn out the way I want. Thank you very much. I'm catching my flight to Japan.
Exactly. Now, no news from HRT on who is going to be in the driver's seat for Japan.
Yeah, probably not till next week.
Well, you know, I mean, I still think that Karun Chandhok should be back.
Everybody's out gathering their
monies.
Their ducats.
Well, and Christian Kleen, obviously out-qualifying Bruno Senna, I think should be in the seat.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you're interested in performance, that's the man that should be there. You know, and if anything that does for Christian Kleen is it basically maybe opens the eyes of some of the other teams is possibly picking him up as a driver.
There are so few openings. That's the problem, Steve. Where would these people go?
Could get new Trulli or Kovalainen.
Well, Trulli, you know, I agree. I mean, he's getting old. Him and Rubinho are way up there. Schumacher, he vows to fight on. But we'll see what happens. I thought Christian Kleen did himself some good doing what he did in an HRT.
Yeah, I think he would, you know, he would be a good replacement for Rubinho at Williams.
Very, very true.
You know, he could probably outrace either of the two kids that are still at STR at Toro Rosso.
But the biggest problem is Rubinho's not going anywhere.
No.
He's going to be the Mark Martin.
No, he wants to outlast Schumacher again, is what he wants to say.
Oh, is that what it is?
So, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
He's probably in, you know, whispers into Frank's ear at every race going, as long as I'm here, when the guy in the silver car retires.
Well, as long as Rubinho out-qualifies his teammate, Nico Hülkenberg, Rubinho's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially since he's pretty much working for free.
I agree. So we'll see what happens there. Of course, the big news is Kimi Raikkonen going to Renault. Now Eric Boullier has said that he wants to meet face-to-face to see how serious Kimi Raikkonen is. I mean, I don't know what this means. Is he going to tempt him with a popsicle?
Well, I'm like thinking, okay, his management's called you. What do you mean, how serious is he? Does he just want to, what's he tired of driving cars in the back roads of Japan now or something? That he wants to come back to Formula One? I don't understand why Kimi's even asking, because I would think that, you know, it's only his first season in the WRC, that he'd want to stick it out for at least two or three seasons just to learn and get better. Maybe it's the fact that Frenchman keeps getting further and further ahead every time.
First of all, can the Renault F1 team gather enough capital to pay a Kimi Raikkonen salary?
Well,
that's the big question.
He's not going to get any kind of money like he was getting at Ferrari. No one's going to pay him that much.
Well, they're going to have to pay him some salary. He's not going to bring...
No, he's not bringing anybody.
Any Finlandia
with
him.
Theoretically, if you were able to get Kimi, you ought to be able to get more sponsorship because you would have a name driver.
Absolutely. I agree with that. But the biggest question for me is, if you look how disinterested Kimi Raikkonen was in his last season at Ferrari, when things aren't going well, could you imagine if he does that to Renault mid-season? If Kubica is out qualifying him.
which Kubica probably has a really strong possibility of doing, because as we've seen, Kubica is a pretty damn good driver.
Exactly. Not only that, but does Renault want two number one drivers in the same team? Let's not forget, the way they won those championships was having a clearly defined number one and number two. It was always that way. Flavio puts it that way. It's written down that way. And I think Eric Boullier is still struggling on, you know, do we keep Vitaly Petrov? Why? He made another mistake. This guy will make mistake after mistake after mistake. He's a rookie. He should be, you know, it depends on what your goals are for 2011.
Right. And if you were really thinking that, you know, ultimately, if you want a solid number two, you need to go out and get a solid number two. You know, there are numerous gentlemen on the grid, particularly racing for the three slow teams, you could bring up and put in that second seat who can play that second fiddle role pretty well.
You know, I agree.
Heck, Christian Kleen just proved that he could probably be a solid number two for you.
Christian Kleen could be a good solid number two. I agree with you.
We could go and get Robert Kubica's old buddy.
But Vitaly Petrov could be a good number two if he could just shake those mistakes.
Yeah.
Occasionally, he does show some terrific driving skills.
Yeah.
And unfortunately...
Yeah, and you know, maybe he was promoted too soon.
Perhaps, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. I'm sure the press is going to follow this extremely closely, and I can't wait to see the photographs of Kimi Raikkonen and Eric Boullier having a chat. Because that, for, if I see those photographs, then I think this is serious. But until I see that...
Well, there's a good opportunity. Isn't the WRC race this weekend in France?
It's the big one. The pièce de résistance.
France.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see what happens.
The Alsace region.
So it's going to be exciting. And I don't know. And not only that, but I don't think this is... I wonder what Citroën is thinking. Is this going to be distracting to Kimi? He still has to perform.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't know that they care, because more than likely, Sebastian, you know, I think, you know, I was watching a recap of the Japan WRC over the weekend, and he was sandbagging big time in Japan, because I think he wants to win the championship in France.
You believe that?
Yes, for because his people? That is who Sebastian is.
We'll see what happens there, No, it's true. But Sebastian Loeb also is talking about retiring next year. I mean, how many championships can you put in a bag?
As many as you can fit.
Yeah, well, the bag is full.
Yeah, I think it's coming down to what Sebastian Loeb would really like. Is someone that could really challenge him.
That's true. I agree with you. And Ogier's done a pretty good job, but still, we'll see what happens there. But yes, I'm looking forward to Kimi Raikkonen in a Renault suit. I think it would be exciting. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that would be an exciting team to watch. And I expect them to be closer to the front of the spear next year as they continue with development.
Oh, yeah. And Renault's got a strong chance, but I don't understand Kimi's move and then just come back the year later.
It is a little bit bizarre.
You know, this is what you've supposedly wanted to do since you were a kid. Why would you... The only reason I can see... Is that he's already blown through the cash he got from Ferrari.
No, I don't think so. I think he's got some pretty good people around him advising him. Quickly, Mercedes Grand Prix, a lot of talk about them having a little bit of, a little too much roughage inside the paddock, let's say. Apparently, Ross Brawn and Norbert Hogg aren't seeing eye to eye. And there's some questions about... Will we be seeing the same team next year?
So it's going to go back to being Braun GP again?
No, it's not that. Mercedes is in forever, but will Ross Brawn stick around if Norbert Hogg all of a sudden wants to take the reins if he's disagreeing with Braun's approach? Which I think would be a terrible mistake.
Yes, frankly, Norbert Hogg knows how to run a program, not a team.
Exactly. And this is what's going on. Rumors at Singapore suggested that team principal Ross Brawn and Mercedes-Benz Sports Motorsports boss Norbert Hogg were in big-time disagreement over the future direction of the team. And especially when Nico Rosberg suggested that the team needed to make changes to recover the ground lost this year. But Ross Brawn, he said the rumors are stinko and says that the only way Mercedes Grand Prix can return to winning ways is if the team sticks together and agrees wholly on where it is focused and heading for the 2011 season, which is really the right attitude. Listen to Ross Brawn. He's done it before.
Yeah, and isn't the focus on winning the championship? It seems to me like it's kind of a moot question. It's like, is there any other place to be focused? What are they focused on? Trying to keep Michael Schumacher? Or are they trying to focus on keeping, you know, winning the championship?
Well, there could be some Michael Schumacher talks. Everybody knows he's 41 years old. Nico Rosberg has outqualified him all year long. Maybe Norbert Hogg is having second thoughts about Michael Schumacher as a number one. Are they really building the 2011 car around Schumi? There's a lot of things to think about. Or what about a Kimi Raikkonen? If Kimi Raikkonen has made contact with Renault, Norbert Hogg loves Kimi Raikkonen. Norbert Hogg went to Kimi Raikkonen's house just a few months ago and had a little Finlandia together. And they put gorilla suits on together.
Really?
Yeah. You got
went around the neighborhood and scared the children?
Well, I'm just telling you, if Kimi's really serious about coming back, could you imagine Kimi taking Schumacher's place again?
I could certainly see Mercedes being willing to pony up a lot more cash than Renault.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially because I know Norbert, I wouldn't say adores Kimi, but is very fond of Kimi.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a talent. He's, you know, an unquestionable talent in a Formula One car. And again, but you run into the same question is, okay, you're going to have two number ones, and what's going to happen if you're not in contention after the fourth race?
Yeah, but when you have two good number ones, I don't think you're going to get the same kind of mistakes you've seen at Red Bull with that Vettel and Mr. Webber.
Yeah, well, ultimately, you've got one world champion. You know, it probably would be more or less a clean swap. It's just whether or not Nico can keep up with Kimi.
Yeah, so I think Mercedes Grand Prix has a lot of decision-making to make. Because not only does Schumacher want to stay there, but is that really a smart thing to do if you're fighting for a world championship and your number one driver is turning 42? So...
Yeah, a lot of it depends on whether or not they can really get a truly competitive car again.
Well, I think they can. I'm sure Mercedes has the resources. Ross Brawn is an intelligent man. And I think they will have a much more competitive car in 2011. I have no doubt about that. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break because we have an outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And, of course, this week's interviews, of course, Alexander Rossi and Robert Wickens of GP3. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Working on a night move, trying to make some front page driving news. Working on a night move.
Greetings, musical regards from Mr. Bob Seger, and motor racing regards from Marina Bay in Singapore. Nando made the night moves in Cali, which saw Ferrari first and last, and more on that later. And in the race, Nando showed them all, especially Vettel and Hamilton, how March to Championship should look like. He was quicker than they thought, and even more faster than I thought, but that was good. Championship leader is still the same, moving race to race, no one standing in his way, Mr. Mark Webber. And he was lucky. He was a lucky dingo this past weekend. That's
he
for
was
sure.
a lucky man.
Yeah. Alonso gave Ferrari victory at a track where they failed to score a single point in previous two outings. He has now scored more points in the last five races than any other driver. So he is on his way. And you know, while I was on my way here in a Toyota, I was thinking, you know, just a little bit of change in attitude could have given him a world championship, but two with Renault, one or maybe two with McLaren, and one or two with Ferrari.
Yeah, but
these things happen.
Yeah, but you know, they just didn't have the right marching orders over there at the dark side.
Yeah. Actually, he was looking for reversing order for numero dos. But it would have been quite an achievement.
It would have been an unbelievable achievement. He
absolutely.
Got close.
Very close.
You know, I would say no regrets.
Yeah, move
Let's
on.
Let's move on. He's excellent. At Ferrari, and he's still El Macho.
Oh, yeah. This got my attention, that's for sure. Okay, we move on to Sebastian Vettel, the young man who was going to be the king. Well, one day certainly will be. But may have to say wiedersehen with some Radler to his chances this year. Because if you can't take advantage when you have the advantage, what will you do when the other hombre has the advantage and momentum on his side? And if the Korean Grand Prix is canceled, Vettel will be in deep kimchi. And looks like I'll be surprised if this race takes place. Because finally,
really?
Because finally God has spoken.
Who?
God, Bernie Ecclestone.
Oh, of course.
And he has said, we may have a problem. And that's enough to know what really is going on. Apparently, the last layer of tarmac has not been laid, which, you know, you can work all night long and do it. They do it on California highways all the time. But I read that it will take like 3 weeks for the thing to really
settle down.
Yeah. And 3 weeks is like...
That's not enough time.
Day after the first practice session.
Huh, because I said in the first part of the podcast that I thought it would take place. It's on the schedule, the pictures look good, and it's just a question of, you know, tar.
Yeah, tar far.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
may have tar far there. Let's see what happens. But, I mean, this cancellation could... Or taking place of the event might make a big difference in who is the world champion.
That's true. But maybe they could just go to Manicourt and settle it.
Yeah, exactly. And after Suzuka, I think somebody is checking into Chris Isaac's Blue Hotel on a lonely highway. And if memory, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I'm getting old and cannot remember all the facts of motorsports world. I heard a rumor that you watched the 2007 Japanese Grand Prix and the Hungarian Grand Prix from Blue Hotel.
I did.
Or did you check in after watching the race?
No, it was blue.
It was blue, okay.
But that's okay. I was rooting for Renault.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. Okay, Mark Webber, lucky to survive the body slam with Hamilton and still get on the podium. He is already the people's champion, and Eddie Jordan was really talking about him being the people's champion on the BBC podcast. And I think he will be the biggest beneficiary if we find out this week. There only remain three races to decide the championship. But I'm going to tell you something. The heat is now on Webber, not on Alonso or Hamilton.
Really?
Because, you know, when you, it's like, you know, if you're leading a race, the guy behind you knows what to do. And you're leading, you don't know what he's going to do. So it's, if they don't get the form they had or the speed they had in the early part of the season, I think Webber Goose will be grilled. Not that I don't like the guy. Or
no,
like,
I think Mark Webber would be a great world champion.
I hope he takes it because it's going to be very, very hard to get another so close chance. And just ask Felipe Massa. You know him, right?
Felipe, yeah. He's that guy in the back.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough business. And if you make it tougher on you, then it just gets even worse. Jenson Button, he was fourth in the race and now fifth in the championship. This was interesting, you know. Everybody thought he was going into Lion's Den and he'll be mauled by Hamilton. But he won two races at McLaren before Hamilton had won. But, and if Hamilton had not made those self-induced mistakes, two of them back-to-back, Button would be quite a few points behind him. But as Mr., you know, who would say, R. Jens, unless I'm very much mistaken, is the smooth operator, makes very few mistakes. And he should not be counted out. And I'm thinking, you know, races are going to Japan, China, I don't know the weather situation in Korea, but Brazil also, as we have seen in the last 2 years, if it's a wet, dry situation, you know, from nowhere, Jenson Button could end up retaining his title. So whoever, what do you think?
I think you're right, but I just, my crystal ball points more in the Mark Webber direction.
Over Alonso?
I think Red Bull is going to be back to form at Suzuka and in China.
Yeah, yeah, it's especially if they stay dry. But you know that the competition always catches up. It's just a matter of when they
And that's true. And not only that, but Nando says himself that he's peaking.
He's peaking?
Yeah, he's peaking.
Well, the race is in Shanghai.
Yeah. So okay. we'll see what happens. It's going to be down to the wire.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And just, like you said, Jenson Button does have a chance, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, whoever wins is going to be a great. It'll be great if Webber wins, if Vettel wins, youngest world champion, if Hamilton wins. Hamilton and Alonso would be most impressive. And, of course, Button winning in a car that was not the best most of the season. That'll be really. And what I really want to see, regardless of who wins, I want the most deserving guy to win. I don't want, you know, like Webber leading and then his car blows up and, you know, he doesn't win the challenge. I want a fair fight and let the best man become world champion.
I think it's going to happen, Nasser.
Let's hope so.
It's going to be exciting right down to Brazil.
Okay. Or Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi, you're one of your favorites. Excuse me. I just don't like Abu Dhabi.
Why?
It lacks excitement.
Have you
for
seen?
Me.
Really? Have
yeah,
you seen
that? Rose water just doesn't excite me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you, what do you want there? Moët Chandon?
Exactly. Thank you.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah.
Okay, Robert Kubica continues to show why he is one of the top nine drivers and will deliver a championship if he has the right package. No package, no delivery. We all know that. Comrade Vitaly Petrov brought the other. He was in the points, right?
He did.
Yeah.
Finish in the points because
very late.
Well, there was some penalties to Hulkenberg and who was the other
some
guy?
Other guy got a. Some penalty.
I can't remember. Hulkenberg.
Yeah. Isn't that one of the STRs?
And Buemi or something.
Yeah.
So Petrov got in the points after screwing up his qualifying. Vitaly, also known as Vyborg Rocket. Vyborg is the town he comes from. It's very close to the Finnish border. And if the outcome of some wars had been different, he would be Finnish. But that's how these things happen. Nevertheless, he has done a decent job. And hopefully we'll have a seat at Renault in 2011. Petrov's points total is 19. And this is impressive now. It's not the greatest thing, but considering he's a rookie. Only two behind Kobayashi, but ahead of fellow rookie Nico Hülkenberg. Highly touted, I must say. And he is very good. Now keep in mind, Hülkenberg won the GP2 championship over Petrov in his rookie season. So Hulk is very good. And also, Petrov is ahead of experienced hands like Liuzzi, Buemi, and Pedro de la Rosa. Let's hope the party boys in Kremlin will kick some rubles towards Jenny Capital to keep their comrade warm in F1 seat. Would you like to see Petrov stay at Renault?
Yeah, but he's. I want Renault to win a championship, and with the mistakes he makes in every qualifying.
That's his first year.
Okay, yeah.
Is that okay? But I have to say, I'm very, very surprised. He has done a better job than Hülkenberg, I would say, and Grosjean and Piquet Jr.
Yeah, what'd you think of Hülkenberg's frustration when he didn't make it to Q3? They showed a picture of him throwing his helmet, frustrated and flustered.
Yeah, all these things happen, and he's with tough cookies, you know, Patrick Head and Frank Williams. Good thing is he is a terrific driver, and they like him. And the thing is, you know, I think what's getting to him is that he knows he can. I mean, the guy has won a championship in every series. Apart from F1, every series he moved up to, his first race has been from pole position. And if anybody remembers how he performed in A1GP when he was very young against Prema, Neil Jani, that was an incredible. The guy, I think his frustration is coming from that he just cannot sort out the car in qualifying and... just cannot. I mean, pace-wise in the race, he has very good pace compared to Barrichello. But, I mean, you see the difference in qualifying between him and Barrichello.
Of course, and the big difference from GP2 to Formula 1 is GP2 is a spec series.
Yeah.
And in Formula 1, the car really needs to suit your style.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he was in diapers when Barrichello made his Grand Prix debut. So there's a lot of experience, which counts for a lot of things, you know. It's like, you know, Alexander Rossi answered the best way when I asked him about his first year in Formula BMW and the second year, why he was so dominant. And he says, you know, first year, you're always second-guessing everything you're doing. Second year is just like second nature. I mean, it's like, you know, even when you change jobs, you go to, it's the same line of business and just the same city, when you go to the new place, it takes time to settle in. So, but I think Hülkenberg, a good thing is, you know, his manager is Willy Weber. Patrick Head likes him very much. And you don't see him running around doing stupid things, at least not so far. So, and I'm a big fan of him and of Grosjean, of any top line driver, Brandon Hartley for that matter. So I would like to see him put it all together.
We all would.
Okay, sir. Christian Kleen provided cage rattling of the weekend by out-qualifying Bruno Senna by a wide margin. And this was picked up in the media quite a bit. Sakon Yamamoto was reported to be suffering from food poisoning, more like sponsorship poisoning, I say. And, you know, you watch the BBC coverage and they were talking to Karun Chando, their teammate, asked you what happened. Does he really have food poisoning? And you know what he said? He said, well, I don't know if he's been sitting on the toilet all day.
I remember that.
Yeah. So.
And I'm really impressed with Karun Chando keeping pretty cheerful, positive attitude. His spots on the BBC are he's very articulate. He's a very good guy.
Yeah, he's well educated. I've met him a few times. Very nice and very friendly every time I've met him. His father also. His father is, you know, very good friends with Vijay Mallya. And I remember a couple of years ago, I don't know, it was 2008, when they were first announcing the Indian Grand Prix is confirmed. So I said, hey man, I mean, Moa is expecting an invitation. He says, give me your card. I have his email address, so come next year, I'm sending him a email. Don't forget your friendly neighbor from Pakistan. And that should get me a VIP pass with full security.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay, no, I'm committed to going to that Grand Prix.
In India?
Yeah, because it will be, you know, it's right probably an hour and a half flight from Karachi. So I can go and meet the familia. And then I have a friend, I chat with him about motor racing all the time. He's in New Delhi also.
Am I invited?
You are invited by Bernie. I mean, you don't look at people like me. Do you now?
That's true.
Yes.
What about the tea?
Please taste it and you will see. Don't you agree? That's really splendid tea.
My goodness me, I'll take a ton. This tea is quality number one.
Indeed, it is.
Oh dear, it's time for another goodie bag from Mr. Brazier and some factoid from the Singapore Grand Prix. What was your favorite moment from the Singapore Grand Prix, by the way? Was there any particular moment that got your...
Well, the incident between Hamilton and Mark Webber was a turning point, for sure.
And you said...
And that was halfway through the race, lap 37, 38.
And you said, now it's Nando's event for sure.
No, I didn't say that, but Nando was very, very impressive.
Oh,
and I was very impressed with Fernando doing the big...
Let me ask you a question. Give me three, apart from this, give me two other most impressive wins, in your opinion, of Nando.
For Fernando?
Yes, sir.
Well, winning in front of the Spanish people at Barcelona was a great win.
Yes.
And for me...
San Marino over Michael?
Yes, that's unbelievable. Actually, that's probably one of my most favorite races. Michael Schumacher all over the back of Nando, and Nando keeps him at bay, finishes the race, wins. And that's when you realize this young man is machismo.
Oh, yeah. You know what my two favorite wins are for Nando? Two wins where he had no business winning. One was the Japanese Grand Prix.
Last year?
No,
it was the year before.
2008, when Hamilton and Raikkonen had some issue at the start.
Oh, that was exciting.
And when the camera went to it, was Robert Kubica leading. This is the first lap, and they showed Nando. And as soon as I saw Nando scrape through in his second, I said, man, Nando is going to win this race. And the other one was I believe it was Nürburgring, European. with McLaren.
Oh, with Felipe Massa.
That race he had no business winning, but he pulled it off, push and shove. And then even better than that was arguing with Massa.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, and arguing with Massa in Italian was in the green room was
that
even
was
better.
That was a great McLaren drive.
That was fantastic.
Fighting with his future teammate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely fantastic.
Telling him he's the boss.
Yeah. So we're going to start this goodie bag from Mr. Brazier with Nando, the big winner from Oviedo, Viva España. And I would like to say congratulations to our man, Mr. Javier Vicente Garcia in Holland. You know, he's originally the music man. So congratulations to him and all the Nando fans. Great, great win. Victory number 25. And this gets even better and better for Nando, equaling the score of Jim Clark and Niki Lauda. That's very, very impressive, no matter how you like it. Ferrari first and last on the grid. This was the fifth time in Formula One history that Ferrari red cars, started a Grand Prix in this fashion. First was 1954 Swiss Grand Prix, when they used to race in the streets of Bremgarten. And last time was in the 2004 Chinese Grand Prix, Rubinho on pole and Shui Shanghai in last place. You remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Sutil out-qualified with Antonio Liuzzi for the seventh straight time. Liuzzi may have to adjust his cap again, as rumors are getting stronger and stronger that Paul di Resta may start his Raj at Force India next season. And Liuzzi's manager is Peter Collins, who at one time was co-owner of Lotus Team and is from Australia originally. And he was the guy who helped Peter Windsor come to England and get into racing. So small world, huh? Mm. Nico Hülkenberg scored points in back-to-back races for the first time. Lucas di Grassi was the only one from the new teams to finish. He was 15th. And finally, maybe Red Bull out of steam. A team has gone three races in a row without winning or leading one race. How fast fortunes change in Formula One. You know,
yeah, out of steam. Let me see. What were the other two cars on the podium?
But they were not winner. Well, they have not looked as strong as they should, or at least as they were in the early parts. But, you know, Clark probably is right. If the Suzuka and the Brazilian track especially stay totally dry, chances are they may run away.
We'll see. I think Ferrari will be right on their butte.
Yeah.
Ferrari has shown some fantastic pace. It's very, very impressive.
Yeah, and Luham, you know, sooner or later he's not going to make a mistake during the race.
Sooner or later.
And if he doesn't, he's on the podium. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting.
Okay, also in Singapore, there was a support race, Formula BMW Asia. Victory in race one to local racer Richard Bradley. Actually, the race was won by a Russian driver, Daniel Kivat, but he was given a penalty, so Richard Bradley got the win. Same thing happened in the second race, which was won after the penalty by Oscar Tunjo. This kid has been on my radar for a year. He's from Colombia, and he's very good. I call him the third coming of Montoya. Second coming of Monty is already racing in the U.S., Sebastian Saavedra. All a very talented driver, and especially Saavedra, he's got an attitude also, just like Monty, but very good. Carlos Sainz Jr. was second. Now we move to Navarra in Spain for MotoGP, series previously known as Euro 3000 series. I'm beginning to take a lot of interest in this because there are some big name drivers and they have the old A1 GP car, which is very, not the one designed and powered by Ferrari.
The previous one.
Yeah, for which they have not been
with
paid.
With the Zytec motor.
Exactly. Lola cars. The ones that came to...
Not the Ferrari.
Yeah, the one that came to Laguna Seca. Did you like those cars?
Yeah, I thought they were okay.
Yeah. Victory from pole position for Julian Lille of Colombia. Here we go again with percolated drivers. Eduardo, no relation to Joe Piscopo, was second and Romain Grosjean was third. In the second race, Mr. Grosjean took the win and the championship lead, 42 points to 41 over Eduardo Piscopo. Final race of the season is this weekend at Autodromo Nazionale di Monza. I call it heaven on earth. You were there, sir. Did you really enjoy it?
It was heaven on earth. I can't wait to go back.
How would you compare your experience here to Spa-Francorchamps, which is a great, great track?
For me, it was better than Spa.
Why?
Spa was just too wet and muddy. But that was 1998. But I would go back to Spa as well. when I have, you know, when I'm a band and get those press credentials.
Oh, when you mature?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. And when will that be? In the year 2525?
Thank you, Nasser.
Yeah. No, Monza is very special. I love that place. And just, you know, walking, anything and everything. You know, I remember, you know, in 1982 when I went there, I was staying in Monza at like a pensione, you know, these people have. And I remember talking to the owner, who was a very old Italian gentleman. I remember something I'll never forget. He says he was, I asked him, do you like racing? He says, no, but I was stationed at the track during World War II. I said, wow. I said, what were you doing? He says I was an anti-aircraft gunner. He said, but I never got one. That was funny. So I would love to go there again. And yeah, I remember walking, you know, to back to the pensione, and they had these streets named after Villoresi and Arcangeli and a lot of other drivers, you know, old Italian from the 20s and 30s. Chills, man. Fantastic place. Are you going there next year?
Yeah, I'm going to. I have
to. Monza?
Yes.
Really? Is that the only race you'll do, or you'll go some other place also?
I'm not sure. I can't forecast that far in the future.
But Monza is on the radar.
Monza is definitely on the race. Maybe the Grand Prix de France.
Really?
Maybe not.
You know, talking of Grand Prix de France, I said, just before I came, I was doing some last-minute research, and there was, you know, Bernie Ecclestone is amazing. There were somebody from somehow Mauritius was in, you know, country Mauritius. They were involved that they may try to take a Grand Prix there. And they said the former head of the FFSA, which is the French Automobile Federation, after he retired, he moved to Mauritius. And it was reported that at one time he was trying to get a French Grand Prix in one of the French-owned islands there. Now, wouldn't that be something? Maybe they should do a street race in Tahiti.
There you go. Very exciting.
That will be something.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to that, yes.
Yeah. The Bikini Grand Prix. Okay, next we go to Italia and Vallelonga near Roma. I am very pleased to report success in his first race in the Formula Abarth series for an F1 Weekly friend, whom we have interviewed a few times. Hannes van Asseldonk, Dutch boy from the town of Bokel, was in Formula BMW Europe this season and planned to keep his racing skills sharp by racing in the off-season. So I was chatting with him, and he's really, really excited about it. He was very quick in practice, pre-race testing. And there are a lot of drivers, like 25, 30 drivers. Eddie Cheever's son is also in this series, Eddie Cheever Jr., and he finished 14th in this race. So it's interesting. Brands hatch for British F3. Ollie Webb was the victor in race one. You know, I'm going to go either to a British F3 race next year or a World Series by right now. I want to go to different races and hopefully different tracks too, but more importantly to different series also, so we can, you know, spread our web all over.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
divide and conquer.
There you go. Ollie Webb was the victor in race one over fellow Brit James Collado. Daisuke, brother, can you spare me a yen? Nakajima was 9th, and Martin Brundle's Bambino Alex was 13th. Daniel McKenzie was the winner in race 2 over Carlos Huertas. Guess where he's from?
Colombia.
Correctamundo. Quite a few people from Colombia. And this lady we interviewed, very pretty, very nice, very good, Tatiana Calderon. She's from Colombia too.
I liked her.
Yeah. Really? Have you met her? Cool. Final race of the weekend and season was won by James Collado, his 5th of the season. William Buller was 2nd, and Minashe Idafar of Bahrain was 3rd. Champion this year in a very dominating fashion is your homeboy, Jean-Éric Vergnier, who is the first French driver to win the British F3 Championship. And you know this kid, James Collado, who won the final race? He is sponsored by Racing Steps Foundation, which is like a British organization. And they sponsor very talented drivers. And they're going to sponsor James Collado in GP3. And I'm sure he's going to do very well. And this other British kid who I think is also has a bright future, who was almost won the Formula BMW Championship, lost it in the last race. Jack Harvey. He's also with Racing Steps. And he's going to step up to British F3. And that's one of the reasons I want to go there, you know, follow a certain driver's career. And actually, I was introduced to the gentleman who started the Racing Steps Foundation, or he's like the main you know, Chuck Reiter. And I was going to do an interview with him, but, you know, timing didn't work out. So, well, that'll be next time, hopefully. Okay, star in the making. This, I am very, very high on this kid, and I hope he doesn't let me down. Sage Karam is a 15-year-old from Nazareth, Pennsylvania, home base of the Andretti's. He is racing with Michael Andretti's team in this year's U.S. Formula 2000 Series. Karam has a 55-point advantage over second-place man, 23-year-old Patrick McKenna of Ireland. Sage also leads in number of wins, 7 compared to 2 for McKenna. Final race of the season is coming this weekend. Actually, the races are on Thursday and Friday. Doubleheader at Road Atlanta, where they're also doing the American Le Mans. What is it called? The Petit Le Mans. And Road Atlanta is one of my... I like it as much as I like Road America. It's a fantastic track. Okay, all news. This is very important. All new series for winter season, you know, the peak rating season. The Malaysian soap opera Lotus versus Lotus. This is pathetic. Both are blessed by millions from the Malaysian government and now airing their dirty laundry in the media. What's your take on that?
I thought it was a little bit bizarre.
When I saw that Lotus is entering ART GP2, then I saw Air Asia, Lotus has a... I said, what the hell is going on here? So, I'm at work and I'm trying... I read it a couple of times. I said, no, this needs serious attention.
Yeah. Well, and then Fernandez changing the team's name for 2011 from Lotus Racing to Team Lotus. At first, I didn't think it was a big deal. But apparently it is.
Yeah. Mr. Brazier has posted a couple of interesting stories on the forum. Highly recommended reading from Joe Sabert and the English legal system. This is all over the use of name Team Lotus. Big money attracts big egos, and this is the common end game. Sooner or later, Malaysian government will lay down the law or a few millions to make the problem go away.
Or they'll take away a few millions, and that will make the problem go away.
Very true, very true. This story reminds me of control of RJR Reynolds in the 80s. They had this thing, leverage buyout, going on, which was a big deal in those days. Very nicely portrayed by James Garner in the movie Barbarians at the Gate. And now we come to famous last words from Martin Brundle during, and I like this saying very much, during the BBC coverage of the Singapore Grand Prix. Fernando Alonso, not easy to love, but easy to admire.
Keep and up so, the good work, Martin.
Yeah, and so true.
Is it true?
Yeah, the guy is a tremendous, I mean, I've always said the guy is a tremendous race car driver. Yeah.
I'm sure his wife loves him.
I mean, that's her business, so I wouldn't...
You're not going to get involved?
No, no, sir. That's
excellent, Nasser. And once again, I want to recommend a book, The Story of L.A. Nice by Miranda Seymour, titled Bugatti Queen, available at Amazon.com. Supposed to be outstanding about French female driver in the 30s in France.
Yeah, and this was through an email from one of our listeners.
From one of our listeners that goes way back, Mr. Bruce Rhodes.
Yes, and I would like to thank him. Very good suggestion. And it's all about love for motor racing.
Exactly. So I've ordered the book. It's on its way, and I'm going to read it myself.
Good.
Yeah, it sounds exciting.
Good.
So there you have it. Nasser, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We're going to wrap it up.
And take it.
After this quick break from our sponsors.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, the interview with Alexander Rossi and Robert Wickens from Canada. Of course, Alexander Rossi from the U.S. of A. This happened at Monza the final race of the GP3 season, which was conquered by Esteban Gutierrez. That interview went up a few weeks ago, but take a listen. It's very exciting, insightful, and of course, not as good as Nasser Hamid, but still outstanding.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. We are here at the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza. I'm here with Alexander Rossi of ART. Alexander, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you.
Okay, you were talking about, you were preparing, you did the walk around the track yesterday?
Yeah, normally every Thursday, the engineers and I, we go around the track just to get, you know, a more general perspective of it than you can get from looking at simulator videos.
Of course.
And whatnot. So having the opportunity to do that is very important before you go on track for the first time, especially since I've never been to the circuit before. You know, you want to look at the different areas, and I know they've changed the curbs a lot over the past, so that was a big focus for sure. And other than that, we just looked at data a bit from GP2 and just reviewed what we had worked on the simulator, and that's about it.
How does it feel? Because this is my first time to Monza too, and it's hit me pretty hard. The amount of history, the Tifosi, the electricity in the air, how does that feel to you coming here at Monza?
Well, you start to feel it about 5 kilometers outside the circuit. with the amount of people and traffic and excitement around. But it really struck me as quite impressive was when we were doing the track walk, going to Turn 8, and you walk under the bridge, and you have the old banking, the old track behind you.
I walked the banking yesterday.
Unbelievable.
It is.
I'm surprised you could walk it, actually. I mean, it's like a wall. So
it's exhausting.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that's just, it reminds you of where you're at and what's been here before you, and that's very cool.
Fantastic. Quickly, how's your relationship with Esteban?
You know, we're teammates. We push each other very hard. You know, we have a good working relationship. And, you know, that's all that matters at the end of the day, basically.
I mean, there were a lot of pundits that said maybe that wasn't a smart move on Rossi's part to have Esteban as a teammate.
Well, unfortunately, us drivers can't really decide who's our teammate. So, I mean, when we signed, we were, you know, we just signed as one of the drivers at ART. And, you know, everything went well in testing, so you know, there was no reason to assume that anything would be different. But obviously, we've had our share of ups and downs this year, but, you know, it's part of racing, and that's the way it goes.
What were your goals at the beginning of the season? Which ones did you accomplish, and which ones do you feel you still need to be working on?
Yeah, the goal is to be champion, and that's not going to happen. So, I mean, that's really about it. We didn't accomplish that, and that's a bit unfortunate. You know, we've got a couple race wins, but we're still looking for more. We would really like to win a feature race, and it all starts with qualifying. I mean, my best qualifying of the year is sixth. I mean, we haven't had any good qualifying sessions the entire year, and that's been a big setback.
Of course, I mean, are you working good with the engineers, the setup of the car? Do you look at Esteban's setups for maybe...
More or less. I mean, there's obviously in the same team there's shared information, but at the same time we are our own drivers and we do things differently. So with that being said, there's not so much that you can do. You know, if he has 4 tenths there, you can't just go take his setup.
Exactly.
He may have, you know, a different type of way of doing the corner or whatnot. But, you know, really, it's the relationship with the engineers is fine. My engineer and I get along very well. We have a friendship outside the racetrack, which is nice. But then the other driver's engineers are very separate from me, so I don't really interact with them so much.
Do you enjoy racing and competing in Europe?
Yes, absolutely. It's very different than America, and there's some more difficulties to come with that, but if you want to get to F1, you have to be here.
Do you find it that they're a little more aggressive than in America?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's the European way of doing things, and it's the only preparation that's necessary to be there. I mean, you can't, I mean, there's really not even multiple series in Europe that you can do to get to F1. GP2 is it. I mean, World Series is good, but not, the drivers don't really go from World Series F1. They normally go to GP2 again. So, I mean, GP2 is where it's at, and GP3 being the sister series to that is really the place to be for young drivers in Europe.
Your success in GP2 Asia, do you think that gave you an edge over other drivers in GP3?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, having that experience has helped me a lot, especially when I've had to start at the back more than I would have liked to this year. We've always been able to come through and score the points, and I think that's shown through. But the cars are so much different. The driving style and characteristics and technical knowledge doesn't really transfer over. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Just the GP3 car simply isn't quick enough.
Pretty exciting for you when ART won the championship as a team?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we were happy to clinch it and to do it in such a race, such a venue as Spa. And, you know, obviously the team championship is important, but the driver's championship is more. So, you know, they were also hoping to clinch that in Spa, but, you know, they definitely should do it here in Montreal. So.
What's your prediction? What are your guesses on Esteban grabbing that?
Esteban will win.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Wickens has a chance, but it would be... There would have to be disaster at ART.
You obviously, it's your team. You don't want that to happen. So, I mean, I fully expect Esteban to win on Saturday.
That's fantastic. When you took the checkered flag in Hungary, what was going through your mind?
I was happy about that. But it wasn't. It was a bit anticlimactic because of, once again, the difficulties that we had on Friday and Saturday. However, the win in Barcelona was much more the highlight.
Much more exciting.
We qualified 28th and made it to 8th in the first race, and then won by 12 seconds in the second race, which I still think is the largest margin of victory. Barcelona was more of an exciting win for me.
I could imagine. Now, you often talk about the trip with your dad across America from Florida to California. I found that very interesting because I've done the exact same trip. And it is a fun thing to do with your dad, and I did it with my father many years ago. Why does that stick in your mind? Why is that so special?
That was, you know, a time when we were just getting started in racing. And, you know, he had always wanted a Corvette his whole life. And that was finally a dream that he was able to achieve with his son. At the same time, I was chasing after my dream in go-karts. So, you know, it was very cool just to spend that time together. And it really marked the starting point of motorsports in our life. And the Corvette was a car that was so much fun to drive then.
Oh, yeah, synonymous with motorsports. Yeah. So much history. That's fantastic. Okay, what are your plans for next year?
GP2.
GP2 for sure?
Nothing's for sure, obviously, but that's the direction we're going.
Right.
We have a lot of good opportunities. Hopefully, we'll be in Abu Dhabi. Things are moving forward. Obviously, with every driver, there's budget constraints and requirements. And with the new car next year, the budget's going to be even more than this year. So, you know, that's a bit touch and go, but that's what we're fighting for, and that's definitely...
Which teams are you talking to?
We're talking to three of the best teams, actually. You know, hopefully we can make something
happen. Okay, fantastic. Quickly, wrapping it up, F1 Weekly listeners have been following you since the beginning. A lot of great memories and great interviews with Nasser. Quick message to all the listeners at F1 Weekly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Obviously, I can't visually see your support, but hearing that is very fantastic, and it means a lot, especially on the difficult days, to know that, you know, I continue to have support, even when things aren't going as well as everyone has hoped. So, you know, it's fantastic. It's been a difficult year, but we're always fighting, we're always pushing forward, and, you know, we're looking to the future.
Fantastic. Alexander Rossi, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Robert Wickens, welcome to F1Weekly.com. We're here at the Autodromo di Nazionale di Monza. How's your weekend starting?
Yeah, I mean, so far it's the same old routine, really. You know, just doing your preparation, make sure everything's good on the car, make sure we have a good strategy for the weekend and for free practice.
You had a great win at Spa in race one. What was going through your mind when you went through the checkered flag?
Confusion, to be honest. You know, we weren't sure from the bottom of our hearts if it was 30 minutes plus one lap or if just time was it. So basically, once the safety car turned its lights off, the field was in my hands, so I controlled the pace. And we had an idea of what to do, but executing it was a bit of a different story. I mean, luckily... I got good drive out of the last corner, and no one got past me because now you can pass after the first safety car line. So I was a bit worried of that, but luckily, I don't know how it happened, but I managed to get a good enough drive out of the corner to hold on to the win.
And a win is a win.
Exactly.
You have a chance to win the championship mathematically this weekend.
Yeah.
How do you think things are going to turn out, and what are your chances?
Well, I'm realistic. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm going to try as hard as I can to win the championship, you know. In Spa race two, if we didn't have a problem in our pit stop switching the wets, we lost 41 seconds in the pits. And we did the math, and if I just had a worse than average stop, let's say like a 12 or 15 second stop, I would have come out P2 about 6 seconds back from the leader, who was still on dry tires. So we missed out an opportunity to grab a win there. But with that being said, we could have scored 18 points in Spa. So there's no reason why we can't repeat here. And all I need is 18, because if I get two wins, two fast laps, or two wins in a pole, or whatever the case is, we'll tie on wins, and then I'll get the championship based on second place finishes.
We're at Monza. History, the Tifosi, Italy. How does it feel to come to a track with so much history?
Well, I mean, I love going back to the older tracks. You know, my favorite race so far this year has been Budapest, just because it's a raw racing track, which you don't really see nowadays. You know, nowadays it's, you know, on the outside of the track, it's just paved, and if you make a mistake, you maybe lose 0.5, you know, where...
So true.
Once you come to an old, raw track like Monza, or, you know, Spa had a little bit of it, it's, you know, if you make a mistake, you're paying a consequence. You know, you're going off in the gravel, and a different driver comes out.
That's true. The season is over this weekend. Think about your highs and your lows throughout the season and what you might change for next year.
No, I mean, looking back on the season, I don't really have many regrets, if any, to be honest. I think the lows were definitely Turkey and Silverstone, where we had some mechanical woes, which seriously hurt us. We had a couple of engine issues in both of those races, so that was definitely, we missed a lot of points there.
Plans for next year?
There's a couple possibilities. I mean, nothing's concrete yet. I'm waiting for some sponsors to come through and really, but I mean, it's looking pretty promising.
GP2 for sure.
GP2 is one of the goals. Yeah.
Okay, good. Are you talking to any teams at all that you could talk about?
It's a little bit, yeah. I mean, I've had a few talks and stuff like that, but it's, unless you bring the money, you don't really stand a chance. So I'm speaking with my sponsors, and we'll see what I can come up with.
Now, are you solely focused on Formula One, or would you consider going back to North America, IRL, or what have you?
Honestly, I would consider anything. You know, I mean, in the end, my goal is to be Formula One world champion, but my ultimate goal is to make a career driving a race car. So, I mean, if at any point, if I got an offer to go to North America, I would heavily consider it, you know. But right now, I don't have any of those offers, so I'm going to keep on pushing for Formula One.
In the Formula One World Championship, who do you want to win this year?
I honestly think Hamilton's the most worthy driver of it. I mean, he's done a great job all year. He hasn't really put a wheel wrong. Yeah, to be honest, I think he has done a solid job.
Yeah, he's doing less mistakes than last year.
Alonso was my favorite going in, but Ferrari's been up to, they've gotten themselves into a few penalties here and there, which has seriously cost them.
Yeah, I'm not going to even comment on Ferrari this year. Quickly, let's wrap it up. Listeners at F1 Weekly have been following your career for quite a while. A quick message to all those listeners at F1 Weekly.
Just thanks for the support, guys. Really appreciate it. And hopefully I can make you guys proud and end up with a championship this weekend.
Robert Wickens, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Alex and Robert, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now let's go right to the wrap-up with Nasser on his calendar update.
Yes, sir. Calendar will be printed this week. And then, like I said last time, they have to outsource to do a few other things.
Right.
And shipment will be going out in next month for sure.
Next month. Now, next month is in like 2 days.
Yeah. It's. I may even drive down. It's being printed in Santa Ana. Actually, it says...
So, made in the USA.
Yeah. Conceptualized in the USA, thought of, and a lot of love and effort all done in the U.S.
And Cali.
Yeah, in Cali. North Cali. thinking done in NorCali, printing done in SoCali. And, you know, interestingly, we have Dan Gurney on the cover in a very nice interview. And this company I deal with, the Calendar Factory, they've been very good to me. And they used to be in Irvine, and now they are in Santa Ana.
That's great.
Same place as Dan Gurney's shop.
That's beautiful.
So I am, you know, I don't know if I, I'm trying to preserve my vacation time, but I may drive down and bring the calendars myself.
Okay, so shipment in about a week?
No, shipment, I would say, well, you know, I would say by the 15th it should be start flying.
The middle of October, they should start going in the mail.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, Nass. I can't wait to get my copy, certainly.
You're the first one who pays full retail, and I love it.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. We have to keep it on the up and up.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly, or the bookkeeping department just gets out of control.
Yes, and my thanks to Mr. Toby Dawes for now Papito of two young daughters for putting the on the merchandise space and all the changing pictures.
Yep. It's a lot of work, but Toby does an outstanding job every day.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Nass. I can't wait to get those calendars in the mail. It's going to be exciting to send an email if you want to order, or go right to the merchandise page or right to the front page. You just click on calendar. Quickly, San Francisco Formula One Group, sff1.com. Check them out. They're always doing something. If you're in the area and you're lonely, check out sff1.com. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email me at info@f1weekly.com. We have end of the year half price sale going on. Thanks for listening and good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
This is Desiree for f1weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.